time measured out my days. Life carried me along. In my soul I yearned to follow God, but knew I'd never be so strong. I looked hard at this world to learn how heaven could begin. Just where will I begin, where human effort is all in vain? Were it not for grace, I can tell you some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me, I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running, but losing the race, were it not so here is all my praise, expressed with all my heart, offered to a friend who took my place and ran the course I could not even start. And when he saw in full just how much his love would cost, he still went the final mile between me and heaven, so I would not be lost. And were it not for grace, I can tell you I would face, forever running, but losing the race, were it not for grace. Forever running, but losing the race, were it not for grace.
Thank you, Karina. Let's stand. This morning, we're going to read the scripture. I know that we had a few other things going on with the Father's Day, and so we're a little behind time, and don't worry, I will talk fast if you listen fast, okay? If you listen slow, then I'll talk slow, and we'll be here all day. But fortunately for you, I'm hungry, all right? Hebrews chapter 11, please, verse 32. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 32 is where we'll begin, and we're going to read through to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 3. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 32. Of course, if you know anything about Hebrews, chapter 11 is the great chapter of the heroes of the faith, and you could read through that whole chapter, and you see what they did by faith, and so we get to the end of the chapter. He's going to try to wrap it up for us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And what shall I say more? What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. He's already talked about many of the heroes of faith, and he's kind of wrapping it up. And of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who, through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. Wax valiant in fight, turn to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they would without us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And let's pray. Father, bless us this morning as we seek to learn from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Of course, many, I don't know about you, I like history. Anybody out there, you like history? I like looking to the past and learning things from the past, whether it's someone's biography of what they've done and what they've accomplished, things about our country I like to learn because the future of our country is not looking so good right now. And just lessons you can learn from history. History can be important. History teaches us many lessons. Someone has said that those who don't learn from history, primarily the mistakes, are destined to repeat. It's destined to repeat it. Ignoring history can lead us to forget who we are, forget what made us great, and forget where we come from. I think one of the reasons our country is falling apart is because we've forgot our own history. We forgot our own founding documents, which are supposed to really be the guiding force. Just to give an example, the wall of separation between church and state, which is used by our government to suppress Christianity, that's not what it means, and it's not in the Constitution. It's not in any of our official documents, although the average person, if you were to ask them, would think it is because they've not been taught history. We remember the past so it can shape the future. That's a biblical concept. As you read through the Old Testament, the feast that the Israelites were supposed to have, the memorials that God told them to set up, were for the reason of, the primary reason is so that when they would be involved in one of the feasts or their children would see one of the memorials, they would ask their parents, "What is this all about?" And the parents can explain to them the depth behind or the spiritual truth behind what took place, whether it's the feast of the Passover or one of the memorials, the memorial they built after they got into the land of Canaan. Then explain to their kids exactly what God did so that they would never forget their history of what God has done. The Bible is full of history. Life is full of history. We are to learn from the past. That's what our text is talking about. The word wherefore in chapter 12 and verse 1 is connecting us to what has just happened in chapter 11, the heroes of the faith. The chapter divisions and the verse divisions in the Bible are very, very helpful, but they're not inspired. Those were added later. Now, they are very helpful. And so when we're going to chapter 12, we're not completely forgetting about chapter 11. Verse 1 of chapter 12 is actually taking us back to chapter 11, the great heroes of the faith. It is linking us to the great heroes of the faith. They are the witnesses. The word witnesses doesn't necessarily mean that those in heaven are witnessing what we are doing now. Now, they are encompassed. They're everywhere around in our life and in our history, but the word witness means what their life left for us to see. They left a witness for us. As you read through it, you see the many brave, the many acts and the many great accomplishments that were accomplished by faith through the Bible characters, but you also see the flip side. You see what they had to suffer and what they had to endure, some of them, because of their faith. But all of them left a witness for us. Amen. Sometimes we need to look back to the past to help us to live our lives in the present. That's putting the biblical history to use in our life. And that's what chapter 12 is telling us. Because of their witness, it ought to make a difference in our life. We can look back to what they did, what they accomplished, what they left for us to see, and it helps us as we live our lives today. What does it teach us, though, primarily? We see that in verses 1, 2, or 3 of chapter 12. It's what teaches us three things. It teaches us, first of all, that we are supposed to learn eagerly. Look at verse 1 of chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, all of these that left a witness of living for God, a witness of faith, then we're supposed to learn some things. What does it teach us? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The word compassed about is a word that's like, it could be used of a chain around the neck. It's like something that's all around you. It's encompassing. It's a part of your life. The witness that these people left, it's all around us. It should encompass our life. The lessons they teach us ought to be a part of our life. And it teaches us. Now, if we look at the end of the verse, it talks about, it compares our life to a race. Nobody that is an athlete really does, that's an athlete of any ilk or any type of success, if you talk to them, they all have people in the past that were athletes in their same sport that they look back to as a witness to help them in their current career. We ought to do that too. Well, what do they teach us? They teach us several things. They teach us we're supposed to lay aside any hindrances we have. And said, let us lay aside every weight. You ever see someone that's training sometimes, when they're running, they'll put weights on their ankles. Why? They're trying to strengthen. They're trying to bulk up. But you would never see an athlete wearing those weights during a competition. Sometimes our boys, I see them out here, and they wear these big padded things that they're supposed to help them learn how to jump higher. You know what I'm talking about? Big old foam things. By the way, Brother Tim, it's not working. Not one of our guys can dunk, okay? I'm just glad if they can touch the rim, amen? One of these days, we're actually going to have a tall kid in our school. I'm waiting for those day, that day, and we're never going to have one. So Brother Tim's got to really coach because we don't have those type of players. But I'll see him out there in those foam things, and they're kind of all crookedy, and it's supposed to be, listen, that's nice, and maybe they'll jump a quarter of an inch higher than they did before. But they would never be out in the game with those things on. They couldn't run down the court. It would hinder them. And what he's saying here, let us lay aside every weight. What does that mean? Anything that would hinder us. If we look at the great people of the Bible that accomplished something, the witness they left us the witness that they are not going to let anything keep them from living the life and accomplishing what God has them to do. They're going to shed those weights. See, these people, whether they swim, and it can be disturbing, so I wouldn't watch that necessarily, but the guys that run, they don't wear thick sweatpants when they're running. I mean, they're going to wear lightweight stuff, and I don't know. A lot of the swimmers, they'll shave their heads. That's a good thing, by the way. I think everybody ought to do that. Okay? But they want to shed anything that would slow them down that tenth of a second. Just, they want to get rid of anything that slows them down, and the same is true in our life. What is slowing you down? By the way, a weight isn't necessarily something that's wrong. It's just something that hinders you. Is there anything hindering you in your spiritual life The witnesses teach us to shed that. It could be places maybe you're going. It could be people you're allowing to be a part of your life and to influence you. It could be self-inflicted problems. It could be a lack of diligence. Could be a hobby. None of these things are necessarily wrong, but in some instances, they can hinder us or slow us down. And so for the sake of serving the Lord, we should lay those aside. What is keeping you from being faithful to God? We talk about for to flourish, and sometimes people miss church because their kids want to have a sporting activity on a Sunday. I would never have my kids playing a sporting activity on Sunday. Say, well, that's when the league plays. Then don't get in the league. I think church is a little bit more important. What is interfering with your relationship with God? Maybe you're involved in something that's taking time and it takes away from that time and you just don't have time to spend with God. Then that thing's a weight. Yep. What is it? What is it that makes it harder to live right? What is something you struggle with? You need to lay those aside. I've mentioned it many times. I had a friend years ago when the Raiders were in town and he got saved and he was I'm not joking now because you know I joke about the Raiders, but he had season tickets and that's who he was, and I worked with him, and after I quit working there, he became a Christian, and he called me after I wasn't working there for several years, and he told me, he goes, I got saved. Our family goes to church now. He goes, and I got rid of my Raider tickets. That's how I knew he was really saved. Just kidding. He goes, not that it was wrong. I could go to church, and I could still go to the Raider games. He goes, not that was wrong. He goes, but for me, it was way too important in my life, and so I let it go. Okay. That's what we're talking about. Wait. We should lay aside our sins. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now a weight is not necessarily something that's wrong, but a sin is. A sin is wrong. A sin is a violation of God's word. It's not just a bad idea. It's not just a weakness. It's a sin. And sometimes if we're not careful, we allow certain sins to creep into our life and take up residence. Got to fight those. You say, I'm struggling with it. Do you know if you're saved, the power of God can help you get through it? Amen. The closer you get to God, the easier it will be to get over that. And I'm not discounting it. Sometimes we talk about addictions. And by the way, I'm not saying this to be mean. Understand the spirit which I'm giving it. An addiction is not an illness. Quit listening to that. If you listen to that, you'll never get help. It's not an illness. Well, you know, I walked by somebody that was sick and I caught gambling. That doesn't happen. It was a choice that you chose and now it's overtaken your life and it's not a sickness, it's a sinful choice. And you'll never get victory over it until you see it like that. But you can get over it. So let's lay aside those sins. And I wasn't getting necessarily on gambling, but if you do win, make sure you tithe. Now, we don't want it. If you win the lotto, don't bring your money to us. We don't want it. Okay, I shouldn't have said that. The building needs to get done. But it's like, yeah, here, I robbed a bank. Let me help you finish the building. No, we don't want that. But lay aside your sin. Why? Because it's going to keep you. These people we read about in Hebrews, they were so busy and many of them facing persecution. Really, sin was not as big an issue because they were just, they lived in a different time. We live in a time where we're not necessarily persecuted and sin can be an issue. Lay aside impatience and let us run with patience. Patience. We get so impatient, don't we? Things bother us that wouldn't have bothered the people in the Bible. Things bother us that aren't bothering our brethren that are being persecuted in other countries. And I'm not saying that to belittle us. I'm not saying that to drop a guilt on us. I think that's just what we want to get a mind change here. Things that, and I'm the same way. I mean, we're at the end of the world. If we go through Taco Bell and our order's not ready in 30 seconds, it's like, what's going on here? We're having a bad day. Where's my hamburger? I'm sure the people in Cambodia would pray for you. You know, we have an old air conditioning unit on our house. It works, but there have been a couple times in the past where it's like 100 degrees, 100, and it goes out. And I'm like, I don't like that. Our house gets very hot. I'm sure if I asked Brother Board and I called him, he'd pray for us. You know, they don't even have air conditioners in Cambodia. If they do, they work 2 hours a day. So that's a third. We have first world problems. And we get so impatient, we don't really realize we have it pretty good. These people ran with patience. Patience. We get tired of running our race, don't we? We give in because of the smallest little things. And again, I'm not belittling them because things come that tempt us to give up sometimes, that tempt us to, we shouldn't let them. They're not that big a deal. By the way, problems are part of the Christian life. You see people, they'll quit church and they'll quit on God. Well, I have this problem. Listen, you're not unique. That happens to everybody. If we do the other things I'm going to mention, we'll be all right. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Galatians 6:9. Sometimes we quit right before the good part's coming. Secondly, verse 2, let us look enduringly as we consider the witness that was left for us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now in verse 1, he told us, let's not forget what the witness of those in chapter 11 and those in the Bible left us. But now he takes us to the ultimate witness, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, looking unto Jesus. How can we continue to make it in this life when we go back to where we don't want to be patient? Well, let's just look at Jesus. What was going on in his life? He had the joy of a goal. Look at this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. What, was he going to a party? I mean, was he heading out on vacation? Nothing wrong with vacation or going to a party, if it's the right kind. No. What was the joy set before Jesus? The cross. God's will for his life. That was his joy. It was set before him. Now, the race wasn't easy, and you're going to see in a second, he went through some things, but he always had the joy of the goal, where he knew he was going to end up and what he knew it was going to accomplish, and that was his joy, and that could keep him going through all of the things that were going on. You know, these people that, athletes that train. Listen, the training is not fun, but they're not looking at it from the sense of training. They're looking at the end goal, winning. The training is what you put in. See, everybody wants to win, right? Everybody wants to, you know, be the champions. Everybody wants first place. Everybody wants to get it. Nobody wants to put in what it takes to get to that part. Oh, everybody will jump into the celebration, but the celebration started 10 months ago. I heard a story many years ago, and I like the Lakers, and it's been very painful the last few years, but I do like the Lakers. And so if you like the Lakers, it's kind of like Christianity. If you love Jesus, you hate the devil. So if you like the Lakers, you hate the Celtics. That's Christianity. Okay? I like the color green, but I don't like the green that they wear. There's nothing good I can think about the Boston Celtics. Nothing. Nothing. But I admired Larry Bird. Yeah. The day after they won a championship, the next morning he was up at 6 practicing his shots. Now think about that. You just won. But he realized the next season's coming and I got to practice. See, everybody likes but no one likes the effort. Yep. But the effort brings the joy. If you're having a tough time, get through the tough time. Joy is on the back end. Now that verse in Ecclesiastes, better is the end thereof than the beginning, because that's where the blessing is. So we look at, how can we incur? Because of the end. Childbirth. Look, being pregnant's not fun. I have no idea how that works. I've never been pregnant. It just doesn't look fun. And I've been in the delivery room 7 times. And you know what? It was joyous at the end. Okay? Now, you say, wait a minute, it was joyous for me. 2 words, epidural. I don't even know if that is 2 words. But listen, the pain is, and all you go through in the morning sickness and all of that. But you know what the end is? It's the baby. right? Man, we're not having them anymore. We're done. But man, those grandchildren come over. It's like joy. Why? We didn't have to birth them. Amen? And we could send them home whenever we want. But it's like the joy. The joy comes at the end. There's some situations you got to go through in life, but you get there. We endure the pain. It says that he endured the cross. He endured it. He kept going when he didn't want to. By the way, Jesus was God in the flesh. I hope you understand that. He was deity, but he was also 100% flesh. He felt pain. He despised the shame. He says he endured the cross, despising the shame. Despising means to think little or nothing of. In other words, all the nonsense he was going through, the way people treated him, it didn't bother him. He thought very little of it. Why? The joy at the back end. And he completed his race. Thirdly, and we'll be done. Let us link up encouragingly. Verse 3, for consider him, think about it, make it a part of it has to be in your mind. By the way, the battle is always fought in the mind. If you lose a battle in your thinking, if you get weary in your mind, you're done. But he goes, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your what? Minds. So we have to think about what he did and how he made it in our mind, lest we become faint and weary in our mind. We have to link our weakness with his strength. See, it's not about us. The reason we can make it is because we can look back at somebody who made it and somebody who will give us the strength to make it in the day in which we live. That's why when we read the Bible, we read the story of the Bible characters that accomplished great thing. We think, wow, how can they do that? Because they linked up with God and they got his strength to live in their day. So can we. You can make it. How are we supposed to live our lives today? Let's look to the past to live in the present. Let's look and see what the Bible says and we get God's strength for today. Let me read these verses and we'll be done. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28 to 31, it says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. You know what? God's just fine. Okay. God's good. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall fail and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I love that verse. I always have. But if you take that verse without reading the verses before it, you're missing where the strength comes from. See, God's not tired. God in heaven is not weak. And he says, if we'll wait upon him, he'll give us what we need to get through it. Yes, sir. And we can learn that in the characters of the Bible. How do you live in your life? As an athlete or anybody really in life that accomplishes anything, they usually have someone in the past that they look back to. And their life witnesses to them of what they can do. That's how the Bible is to us. We look back at the people of the Bible. We look at the promises and the principles of the Bible, and we gain the strength we need to live in the present. Are you struggling this morning? You say, no, life's good. All right, let me ask, are you struggling in your Christianity? Because that's the big part. How's your spiritual life? You know, sometimes I get discouraged. Get in line. See, the difference between some people is that they allow their discouragement to get them off course, where other people go through discouragement and they get God's strength and they just keep going. Yes, you're not unique. It's the same to all of us. But if we learn the lessons of the past, we can live our life in the present. Let's stand this morning. Every head bowed.